Listen up, my fellow coaches and leaders. The truth is, we all need a space to learn and grow so we can bust through our personal glass ceilings and step into our full potential, especially if we want to create the space to allow others to step into theirs. And that's where I come in. I'm not just a former clinical psychologist, but also a seasoned dream life and business coach with over 2 decades of experience helping people shatter their personal barriers and unleash their greatness. And here's the thing, you don't have to figure this all out on your own. As a heart-centered entrepreneur or industry leader, you deserve the best tools and strategies to help you and your business thrive. And that's why I'm excited to share my experience with you through the Coaching for Coaches podcast. Utilizing powerful combination of clinical skills, quantum physics, and strength-based coaching methods, I'll show you exactly what to do and exactly what to say to unleash your true potential and create a path for your clients to follow. And not just that, I'll also teach you how to build a thriving coaching business around your unique skill set and passions. So let's get started. It's time to answer your calling, make a lasting impact on the world, and create a lucrative living doing exactly what you love. Welcome to the Coaching for Coaches podcast, where greatness begins. Hey, 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 you guys, it's Denise Walsh. Welcome, welcome to the Dream Life Experience on the Coaching for Coaches Facebook group. This is live every single Monday, or at least most Mondays, at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And then also it will go on the Coaching for Coaches podcast. So if you are listening on the podcast or YouTube, welcome. Be sure to join the group so you can hang out and connect with us live. So I want to make sure that everybody can hear me and that I can see comments. If you've got any questions as we're going through this experience, then be sure to pop them in the comments below. And if you could like and comment and say where you're from, just so that I know that everything is working just fine. Awesome. All right. So as we jump into today's hot seat coaching, I want to share with you a bit about why it's so important to have lots of different tools in your toolbox. So in the counseling world, that's kind of how we would describe different exercises, techniques, modalities, etc. Because when we're working with people, you get to kind of pull out the tool that you need based on the conversation that you're having. And so in the Dream Life Certification and Business Program, we teach, certainly, I'm sure you've heard the Dream Life Pathway, head, heart, feet. Do you know what you want? Do you believe that it's possible? Do you know how to go get it? Jax is barking at the dog. Sorry. But each different head has a bunch of different exercises. Heart has a bunch of different exercises. And feet has a bunch of different exercises. Hold on. Sorry. Jeez, oh, Pete's. Okay. What were we saying? The Dream Life Pathway, head, heart, feet. Do you know what you want? Do you believe that it's possible? And do you know how to go get it? Each of those areas has dozens and dozens of different exercises and questions that you can use with your client. So while you'll have a foundational program that you're taking people through, you will also have these tools, as they say, in your toolbox that you'll be able to kind of whip out and use as needed. And so the cool, again, like I just keep saying, this is so cool because it's cool. The powerful thing is that you can truly meet your clients where they're at. And the hope, right, is that when you're working with people, you aren't going to feel stuck. What I have found is that when people feel stuck, they don't quite know what to say to their client. They don't have the next question like off the tip of their tongue. Then they typically resort to telling a personal story or giving advice. And the coaching community, like the coaching space, is really all about allowing the client to find their own result. And so what we're going to do today is we are going to teach a strategy. We're going to teach Sarah a tool that she can then use herself and then, of course, duplicate with her clients. And so the balance in coaching is allowing creating the space for the client to come up with their own answers, right? But then also teaching a strategy or a skill. So you're moving the needle and like you're supporting them moving the needle. This isn't just a good conversation with a friend. Like it can feel like that sometimes, but it's deeper than that. This is a place where you're moving the needle in their life. So you do want to teach a skill or ask guiding questions. And the goal is to take them somewhere. So Liz, I know she said, haha, I love our fur babies. Hey, Tina, Canada, Nicole and Liz from California. Thank you guys so much for being on live. I'm going to introduce our next guest. And she is somebody who, when I first started saying, hey, I think I might create this program, she was immediately all in. Not only did she participate in 90 Day U-Turn several times and came back as a support coach, she's been to the Dream Life Adventure and is now a certified Dream Life coach on the path to creating her own signature program as well. So you guys, dreamers, big welcome to Sarah Carr. Yay, the crowd goes wild. All right, you guys, give Sarah some love in the comments. Sarah, before we jump into the exercise you really wanted to focus on today, I'd love to hear a little bit about why, when I announced this option of like becoming a certified coach, you were like, I don't know what it is, but I'm in. Like you jumped in with both feet and haven't looked back. So tell us more.
Well, it's kind of funny because it was almost an accident because like I work a quote 9-to-5 jobs, like a full-time job. And for whatever reason, I happened to see your notification that you were going live in your coaching or in your program. And I was like, oh, I'll see what Denise is up to, not even knowing what it was about. And you were talking about it. I'm like, hey, I need a life coach. It might be kind of cool to learn some of this stuff. I knew you had a psychology background and, you know, that kind of stuff has always interested me. So that's kind of why I jumped in. And I figured, to be honest with you, I didn't think that I would create my own program. And, you know, I knew I would follow through and do the certification or whatever, but I never would have imagined that I would be creating my own program from this. So something obviously was in my heart. And to be honest with you, I kind of miss being able to help people since my full-time job is no longer a hairdresser like I used to be.
Right. So you really had a background where you used to have good, deep conversations with people. I mean, Matt, how many of you, like when you're at the hairdresser or getting highlights or whatever, you and your hairdresser are just chit-chatting and talking, and now you're able to have these deep conversations as well. In a guided, in like pointed way.
Yeah. Like I can't even, like, I feel like I helped people then, not just with like their hair stuff, but also just talking through things, not knowing how to like be proactive and, you know, actually guide them to, you know, do things differently, you know, with their life. So it's crazy to think about like, if I was still doing hair, how much more impactful those conversations could be.
Yeah. So what have been your favorite parts about the certification and business program over these past almost, 9 months or so?
It seems like it's been a while, but yeah, it's been 9 months, I think. So my favorite parts are probably, well, I mean, of course, taking 3 or 4 days or whatever it was to go on the Dream Life Adventure was nice because I was in the time of my life where work was really crazy and I was really stressful and I was like, I just need to get away. And then again, not really knowing how impactful that would be to what I, you know, what I was going through. But that was cool. And then I do like meeting every other week with each other, because not only are we able to practice the skills that we are learning, kind of independently, right? Because we have the access to those skills that we can kind of learn on our own, but we get to practice them with each other. And I mean, I'm not going to lie, I kind of stumbled through some of them, you know, but it was better to stumble through them with a peer than with somebody, you know, that you're, you know, is potentially paying you, you know, for your services or whatever. But I like that. And then also being able to do the question and answer about anything really related either to the things that we were learning or stuff about our programs or our businesses or that sort of thing. So I really think that that's nice because I don't have any other friends outside of this program who have businesses like this or who understand the, you know, psychology behind stuff like that. So it's nice to be able to run those ideas past other people.
Absolutely. Yeah. I find one of the things that hold new coaches back is confidence in themselves and confidence in what they're teaching, like in the program. Mm-hmm. And so the more that we practice it, the more that it can become just like second nature and our confidence will go up.
And so I can attest to that too, because I was scared out of my mind, even to do my recordings for my certification. I was like, I kind of don't feel like I know what I'm doing. But then because of practicing so much, it kind of just came naturally. Now, you know, you had given me feedback that of other ideas, but your feedback still was like, you did a great job, but here are some ideas that you could use, you know, bringing in the different things that maybe I hadn't practiced very much.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the certification, we have you go through the content. So you experience your own shifts and then practice it. And I keep saying the cool thing today. It's going to be my word.
That's your phrase of the day.
I know. I'm like, but this is so cool. And the reason for that is because I want you to build confidence in your own breakthroughs, break through your own limiting beliefs and your own glass ceiling, as we say. But then also I want you to build confidence in the content, because now that you know how awesome it is and you've seen other people at the retreat and in 90 Day U-Turn experience their own shifts, you are even that much more confident when you're bringing it to your clients.
Right.
So you are focusing on money mindset. Is that right?
Yeah. I'm working on creating my program for money mindset.
Awesome. Awesome. So tell me a bit about what has been brewing for you. You said that you wanted to work on an anxiety focused exercise today. So what would you say has been brewing about and within you that is making you a bit anxious?
So it's a combination between anxiety and stress. Like I said, I have a full-time job and it's been very stressful for me. I mean, like to the point where I'm either in tears or almost in tears almost every single day, because I feel like I have a bunch of things coming at me. And, you know, our subconscious plays tricks on us, right? So I didn't help be a support coach this round of 90 Day U-Turn. And now I'm kind of regretting it, right? Because I'm not practicing those things like I had been for a few months. But like I feel like my subconscious is falling back into the norm because I don't have the things in front of the skills and tools in front of me. And I just feel like I need some help reminding me what I can use to, I don't know, calm down and like recognize sooner when I'm stressed or anxious to not get so like frazzled and spazzed out.
Okay. Okay. And so it sounds like you are experiencing increased stress, which may be on a scale of 1 to 10. How would you rate that stress right now?
So I would say it's probably like a 6 or 7 right now.
Okay.
Usually with my job, it's like a 2 to a 4, but right now it's a lot busier just with some projects that we're working on right now.
Okay. So amped up stress. So kind of just low grade, always there kind of stress.
But manageable stress.
Okay. But then it doesn't take much for you to kind of go over the edge. So it feels, are you feeling tense? Grinding your teeth? How are you sleeping?
Not sleeping great. I'm not really a teeth grinder, but I think for me, it's like emotional. Like I haven't quite figured this, like the root of this trigger yet, but I feel like I kind of go into an emotional state, almost like either how somebody says something to me that causes this reaction or what they say is triggering me. So I've been thinking about how I need to figure that out too.
Okay. Do you feel like you could go through an example? Or do you want to practice the skills?
I'm hesitant to give too many details, but basically the projects that are getting, I am with software development at my company, and the projects that are up next on what we're releasing for our software product are two fairly large projects that like are upgrading our application, and they're my like projects. So I feel like I have all these people coming at me at once with either questions or needing approvals for things, or I feel like that I don't have enough time in my work days to answer everybody, because there's probably, I would say, at least 7 or 8 people coming at me, if not more, at any given time of the day, plus the other meetings I have on my calendar that may or may not be related to these 2 projects, you know, that sort of thing. So,
right. So you're feeling under pressure.
And I feel like I'm probably like thinking they have higher expectations than they do, but nobody's really said, oh, you can wait and give me an answer on this tomorrow. Like it all seems urgent, and I'm, you know, trying to distinguish between what's urgent and what's not, but I don't know. I feel like I'm probably thinking they have expectations and maybe they don't, but.
Right. You're playing triage a bit.
Yeah.
While you're still trying to get your own work done.
Right.
Triaging all of these incoming emails and calls. Do you see this dying down, or do you see this being kind of a long-term thing until the projects are done?
So there's ebbs and flows, right? Because it happens to be that these 2 upcoming projects are my projects, but it's not always the case. Right. You know, we're constantly working on new enhancements to our application. In fact, I forgot to mention too, that in addition to these 2 that are next to go live, I also have like other stuff that I'm just, they're at the beginning of our cycle of, you know, development with stuff. So, you know, there's always something going on. And I think maybe that's another reason too, that like right now, I feel like this is all on me. So that stress level is higher, where, you know, there's always meetings. I mean, it's very rare that I have a day that I have more than a half hour here and there kind of to breathe and get some other stuff done.
Right. Right. So it sounds like one thing that would be helpful is, number one, if we could lower your low grade stress or anxiety. So maybe it's back to a 4. Mm-hmm. So when these things come at you, it's not piling up so much. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I'm hearing is that it would be helpful if you knew how priority these were. Is that a question you could ask them? Like, when do you need this answer by?
Yeah, that's what I have been doing. When I remember to, or when it's only like 1 or 2 people coming at me needing something from me, not like 7 or 8 at the same time, or so it feels like.
Right. Right. And how do they respond when you say, hey, awesome, I'll get back to you tomorrow, or something like that?
Or give me like a date when they need an answer by. Yeah. It definitely lowers the stress.
Okay. Are they rude?
Then I have an idea of how much time I have, because then I know where that falls in my priority of other things that I need to do.
Are they rude about it?
It's generally done via instant message. So, you know.
So they're not like snarky or anything.
Open for interpretation. I mean, I think it depends on who it's coming from and my experience with that person. You know, okay. I don't want to say I'm making it up in my own head, but if I know a past experience with someone, even verbally, has been a little bit more harsh, then subconsciously, I think that they're being harsh, you know, another time. And I think it depends on like how they say it too. If they're right. Like, we really need this, we're waiting on you, then that's a little bit more stressful than saying, oh, you know what? Take your time. We don't need this until, you know, Friday or whatever.
Right. Okay. But for the most part, would you say that they understand or accept or it respond well with the deadline that they need it by, and it seems to go over well?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, there's a few one-offs here and there, but.
Okay. So one thing that you can control is asking that question on a consistent basis, mm-hmm. maybe even in an autoresponder or something you copy and paste. Mm-hmm. You don't have to like type it out, especially if you are in the middle of something. But another thing is working on those coping skill strategies to lower your overall stress. So even if 10 come at you, you're like, I got this.
Yeah.
Okay. And it sounds like doing both of those things would actually hit it from both ends. You're being proactive with the people responding, asking how priority it is, when do they need to answer by, but then you're also taking care of yourself. So you're not like an eruption.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything that would make it easier to send that through a text message or the messaging app where you could easily say, hey, awesome, when do you need to know the answer by?
Is there anything? I mean, I have in Outlook, they have signatures that you can save. So I've created those for various other things. So I could probably create one of those so I can easily one click.
Yeah. You know, you don't want to have to type it all.
Right.
And especially I'm thinking if you're on a meeting and you're getting these dings or something, you could easily say that. So then they get a response. They know you heard them, but yet you're not thinking that they're waiting for you right now.
Right. Yeah. That's a good idea.
All right. So the other side of the coin is decreasing overall stress. And this is where coping skills or healthy habits come in. So in, the psychology world, they call them coping skills, but I think in the business world, we call them healthy habits, journaling, reading, going for a walk, all that kind of stuff. Are there things that you do now on a consistent basis?
I'm pretty firm on being able to step away for an hour lunch. Sometimes meetings get scheduled over that block of time and I have to adjust it. But for the most part, I am able to take an hour and step away because even when the stress level is lower, I feel like I just need that time away. And whether it's taking a walk or I have to go into the office twice a week right now. So I've been taking my personal computer so I can work on my business and program stuff because I really like designing stuff on Canva and stuff. It's fun for me. So that helps me get my brain off of the stuff that's going on at my full-time job. And then also moving me forward with my business stuff.
Right. Right. Okay. And then one other strategy that we can add is what's called EFT tapping. And so again, what's cool.
I always forget about that one.
Yeah. So EFT tapping is another just tool in your toolbox that you can actually even use while you're driving. And you can use it while you're in a meeting, maybe if you're not on screen or something like that. It doesn't have to take 10 minutes or an hour. It could really just be something that you do for 3 to 5 minutes, certainly longer if you want, but it doesn't have to be. And so I'm going to share a little bit about what EFT tapping is, and then we'll do a practice round. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. So I pulled up some research here. And so EFT basically is connected to traditional Chinese medicine, the meridian system. If you think about acupuncture, they put those needles at specific spots where the meridians are crossing. And so these meridians are in between the muscle and the skin in that fascia spot, and they create a network, and sometimes they get blocked. And so what we're doing with the EFT tapping is we're really getting flow moving again, and we're saying things consistently that then can kind of reprogram our subconscious. Now, what's fascinating to me about EFT tapping is that it's not just about talking about the positive stuff. We're not just saying affirmations the whole time. We're actually talking about the hard stuff and then moving to the positive stuff. So we're acknowledging the anxiety and the stress and the hard stuff. And then eventually we get to what we want. And I typically, right, we're like, I don't want to talk about the negative stuff. We just want to go straight to what we like. But the goal here is to meet your body where it's at and then move it forward. And so there's several meridian spots, as they would say. And so I'll go through them really quick. And if you're listening to the podcast, maybe check out the YouTube so you can see the video. But this one right here on our hand is called the karate chop. And this meridian is actually connected to the small intestine meridian. So you can see that even just doing this is not just, hitting a hand, but it's actually shifting and impacting your small intestine.
It's almost like reflexology on your feet.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Yeah. And so you are shifting and getting things moved around even just by doing these little movements. The next one is the top of your head. And you can do two or, different blocks. You can do both if you want. It doesn't matter. There's no right or wrong. You can do either hand. And this is the governing vessel. So this one is like the one that moves through the whole body. And then we have the eyebrow. Oh, right here on top. Sorry. And again, you could do both because there's one on both sides or just one.
I feel like I need all of it right now. All the stress.
And then side of the eye. And then under the eye. And then under the nose. Under the chin. And then collarbone. And then under the arm. So like we're kind of where the bra line is. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to read through some statements and you can repeat after me. If you are at home and want to do this as well, be sure you're not driving. Like, don't close your eyes if you're driving, right? You can actually do this while you're driving as long as you're paying attention. And then if you've got any questions in the chat, feel free to respond. And then you can certainly say this out loud with Sarah as well, and we'll see how this impacts your anxiety. So, okay, if we think about work, you've got 10 people coming at you asking for your response. You're in the middle of a meeting. You know, you've got all these plates you're kind of whipping in the air. How high would you say your anxiety is? You said 6 or 7?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you think about that, a 6 or a 7. Okay. All right. So what I'd like you to do is start with the karate chop, and we're going to stay here for a little bit. So you can repeat after me. Even though I have this anxiety.
Even though I have this anxiety.
Over everything that is going on right now.
Over everything that is going on right now.
I choose to relax and feel safe now.
I choose to relax and feel safe now.
Even though I have this anxiety over everything that's going on right now.
Even though I have anxiety over everything that's going on right now.
I choose to love and accept myself.
I choose to love and accept myself.
Even though this feels so overwhelming.
Even though this feels so overwhelming.
I choose to relax and feel safe now.
I choose to relax and feel safe now.
Even though I'm holding so much stress in my body.
Even though I'm holding so much stress in my body.
It's safe to let it go now.
It's safe to let it go now.
All right. We can start at the top of the head. There's so much going on.
There's so much going on.
And that's okay.
And that's okay.
It is safe. Oh, right here. Yeah. It is safe. And we're moved to our eyebrow. It is safe to feel this anxiety.
It is safe to feel this anxiety.
Move to the right or the side of the eye. And it's safe to begin to let it go.
And it's safe to begin to let it go.
Under the eye. It's safe to feel this anxiety.
It's safe to feel this anxiety.
It's safe to feel all the stress.
It's safe to feel all the stress.
It's safe to breathe deeply.
It's safe to breathe deeply.
I acknowledge all of my stress.
I acknowledge all of my stress.
And I begin to feel safe in my body.
I begin to feel safe in my body.
The more I relax.
The more I relax.
The more my body heals.
The more my body heals.
The more I relax.
The more I relax.
The more my body heals.
The more my body heals.
Letting go now.
Letting go now.
What am I so afraid of?
What am I so afraid of?
Am I afraid of other people?
Am I afraid of other people?
Am I afraid of what they say or do?
Am I afraid of what they say or do?
Am I basing that fear on something that has happened before?
Am I basing my fear on something that has happened before?
A part of me says that this is a legitimate fear.
A part of me says that this is a legitimate fear.
Based on the evidence that I've seen in my past.
Based on the evidence that I've seen in my past.
I'm choosing to go through that evidence.
I'm choosing to go through that evidence.
And clear whatever I can.
And clear whatever I can.
And it doesn't mean that I'm not smart.
And it doesn't mean that I'm not smart.
And it doesn't mean I take unnecessary risks.
And it doesn't mean that I take unnecessary risks.
I'm just allowing myself to clear up any misunderstandings.
I'm just allowing myself to clear up any misunderstandings.
Maybe even with some of those past events.
Maybe even some of those past events.
It wasn't as nearly as threatening as I thought it was.
It wasn't as nearly as threatening as I thought it was.
Maybe it was.
Maybe it was.
But I'm not the same type of person anymore.
But I'm not the same type of person anymore.
Part of me is just making certain.
Part of me is just making certain.
And that is okay.
And that is okay.
I am not wrong or bad.
I am not wrong or bad.
I just choose to see.
I just choose to see.
No one says that I have to respond immediately.
No one says that I have to respond immediately.
I may choose to.
I may choose to.
I choose to connect with others and be clear about expectations.
I choose to connect with others and be clear about expectations.
So I'm letting go of the fear.
So I'm letting go of the fear.
I'm letting go of any past embarrassment.
I'm letting go of any past embarrassment.
Letting go of any guilt or shame.
Letting go of any guilt or shame.
Letting go of this discomfort.
Letting go of this discomfort.
I deserve to be here.
I deserve to be here.
I have a right to be here.
I have a right to be here.
And I am awesome.
And I am awesome.
I am awesome.
I am awesome.
I am a gift to others.
I'm a gift to others.
I'm good at what I do.
I'm good at what I do.
I choose to feel confident.
I choose to feel confident.
It's safe to share my gifts.
It's safe to share my gifts.
I choose to feel comfortable and confident.
I choose to feel comfortable and confident.
I choose to feel calm and confident.
I choose to feel calm and confident.
In body, mind, and spirit.
In body, mind, and spirit.
I am awesome.
I am awesome.
Take a big deep breath. In through your nose, out through your mouth. Now we just went through this for maybe 4 to 5 minutes. And I'd love to hear how your anxiety feels now.
So I feel like it's funny because like everything that you were saying or, you know, that we were saying, like are things that I know about myself and about the situation, but in those moments, I don't remember them or, you know, think to recognize them. And speaking them out loud is different than just thinking them to myself.
Yep.
And focusing on the tapping while saying them for some reason was also a little bit different too.
Yeah, I think it kind of ingrains it a little bit more and it's distracting us. So we're not like, is this true? Is this not true? You know, we're not analyzing it.
Right.
We're getting our juices flowing, essentially. That's a way to put it. And putting these truths back into our subconscious. So what would it feel like if you did something like this consistently?
I think I would be a lot less stressed for sure.
And so even if you did get 7 to 10 messages at the same time, how would you respond differently?
I think I would, because I always feel like I have to respond right away or like reply to an email or an IM right away. And I think taking that even 2 minutes to do something like this would be helpful to kind of just calm everything down and reset so I'm not in that fight or flight anymore. One thing I do want to ask you is, like, I've known about EFT tapping, not the details that you gave before we started. That was very interesting to me. Cause I didn't even think about like the acupuncture point type of things. But I never really know what to say while I'm doing it. And I know that there's, I forgot his name. There's that one guy that we did in one of the 90-day U-turn sessions, I think, or maybe it was one of the coaching calls that I have favorited or whatever on YouTube. Yeah. So I guess I could look there too, to see if he has anything specific to whatever that situation is that I'm working on. But
yeah, that's what I typically use. And when I'm working with clients, I typically pull him up.
Okay.
So even though this is a tool we touch on and it's a tool in our toolbox, we don't need to be an expert in everything.
Okay.
And so even when I'm working with someone, I think, oh my gosh, this could be a good exercise for you. Or I'll pull that video up and we'll do it together. And so I don't remember his name off the top of my head either, but if you YouTube
David it, Yates, maybe, I don't know.
Michael Yates. Yeah. Something like that.
We can put it in the comments or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a few really good ones.
Yeah.
And the cool thing, again, the thing I appreciate about his videos is he has a very small intro, so you can jump right into it. Mm-hmm. And then you can use that on a consistent basis. My thought is that after you do it a while, you'll have it memorized.
Yeah.
And it will feel a bit more natural. I know for me, if I were to do it in the car, I would basically just focus on these points and maybe just talk, like say words like what I, the biggest thing or the starting point is, even though I feel whatever I feel, I choose to love and accept myself. That's like,
and I didn't realize until we were just doing this exercise, or until you were talking about it too, about the, I don't want to say the negative, but like the problem,
right?
And
then
like a positive, like I didn't realize that they were right back to back for each statement or, you know, set of statements.
Yeah.
So I think having more practice with that, then I would be able to come up with my own, depending on what the situation was too.
Right. Right. And so I didn't even know your work
situation. I was going to say that too.
And so I just went to a few of those same videos and I found two and I kind of merged them and took the things that I thought were potentially relevant. And they were both very similar. So I think once you have it a bit memorized, then it will, you'll be able to put it in your own words.
And even if I didn't have like 5 or 6 minutes to do it, running through a couple of the sayings would help. And I almost wonder too, like you were mentioning in the car, how you would just do the tapping. Like, I wonder if I could just do that.
Yeah.
If I was on a call or something like that. I mean, honestly, even if I was on video, like, because people like do this, all, you know, like they're like doing something. So I might just be like, okay.
Yeah. Well, and I know that a lot of people focus on this one. And this is like an easy one to do when they're in meetings. They'll do this. So
yeah, that's good too.
And what I'm doing for those on the podcast is on the hand one. On
like the side of the hand or whatever.
Yeah, side on the hand. So the fascinating thing is to rate your stress, do some of these coping skills, and then rate your stress again. And you can do that daily or weekly. You know, I think every day you could rate your stress, practice your coping skills or healthy habits. And the point of doing these consistently is so when stress does go up, because like you said, there's ebbs and flows, it does go up, but you've got these habits in place where you're doing Pilates, you're doing tapping, you got your journaling. And so you are taking care of yourself. So when life happens, it doesn't derail you as quickly or as long.
Right. And I feel like then I would recognize that it was starting to escalate sooner, like before it gets to that 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Then I would recognize it and be able to do things.
What do you feel like is one of the first symptoms or signs that you're experiencing stress?
Usually I get hot And if you, if you look at me, like not now, cause I'm not stressed now, but like it starts like at like, what is that? My collarbone or whatever. And it works its way up to like my face. It's redness. Like I get red, like it works its way up. And that's how you can usually tell where I'm either stressed or upset or mad, like some sort of negative emotion, or even embarrassed, like, you know, those kind of things.
Okay. And so what's the best thing that you've learned to do in those moments to calm yourself down?
Take deep breaths to stimulate that vagus nerve has been a big thing that I've learned through your program.
Yeah. Yeah. So deep breaths. I think the tapping part of it is, because I'm talking, I don't know. You want to be able to do the deep breaths while you're doing the tapping as well.
Yeah.
I think that is like a double whammy.
Yeah.
Cool.
But I use the deep breaths for a lot of, you know, stuff, like any basically negative emotion.
Right.
I've used that quite a bit.
Right. It's like turning your body off of fight or flight and into rest and digest.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. So when can you implement this tapping strategy into your normal everyday routine?
Oh, I'm totally doing it tomorrow. Chances are there's going to be a meeting or something that comes up that I'll be able to do that. And I think I'm going to do the, like rate the stress every day until I get used to, you know, thinking of doing the tapping more often.
Awesome. Awesome. When can you add it? In the morning, in the lunchtime, after work?
I mean, maybe a little of each, possibly. Like maybe I can start the day to kind of like when you were talking about the benefits of it and stuff, like it resetting things.
Yeah.
I think that could help. And then depending on how stressful, you know, the morning meetings go, then I could do it on my lunch, or if I'm okay, then maybe I would wait until a little bit later.
Okay.
Cause I think it's something that you can kind of like adjust, right?
Yeah. You can do it 2 minutes. You can do it 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You can do it in the morning. You can do it whenever. I think one cool thing, see, I keep saying that word today. One idea is to text yourself a few of those videos.
Yeah.
So you've got them easily accessible, and then you can maybe try a different one 3 days in a row and find a favorite.
Yeah.
And then you can plan to do that one most days.
And probably find ones of different lengths too. So if I only have a couple minutes, I could do a couple minutes, or if I have time to do something a little bit longer,
right,
then I could do that.
So this is a good experiment.
Yeah.
To see how your body responds.
My nerd brain was totally going that way too.
Track it.
What works now?
Yes. So track it, keep, and you know, put the data down. So then you can come back and say, all right, this is what worked. This is what didn't work. This is how my body responded, and see if there's a favorite video that you even, my guess is the more you memorize it, the more you can just do it like two or three times and your body will respond because it will be, you know, triggered in the rest and digest way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good thought too. Kind of like the more I retrain my subconscious with the tapping and the sayings, then I won't be, I don't know. I think of it as like, you know, a car on a road, like you won't be veered off the road as far, you know, left or right. And of course I'm thinking like in the ice and the snow of Michigan, like when you slide off the road when it's icy, like if I can get the traction a little bit sooner, then pull myself back straight onto the road and going straight.
100%. It's kind of like Pavlov's dog a little bit, where, have you heard of that study?
Yep.
Where, yeah, he gives them food and then connects it to the bell. And then every time the bell rings, the dog salivates. So the cool thing, the thing to experiment with would be that the more you do it, and it might be more than a week, but you know, a month, 3 months, you can just start doing this and your body will start to respond. So
yeah.
I think, especially since you're a detail focused, this will be a good experiment for you to practice.
Yeah. And my brain's very analytical too. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting. Yeah. I will report back too.
Please do. Yes, yes, yes. Well, I'm looking at the comments now. Thank you guys for sharing. And Kimberly said, Nick Orner is another good one. Yes, he's actually Ortner. Yeah, he's another one that I did today too. And then, yeah, I think that this is a good exercise to put into our morning routine or just to have in our toolbox when we need it. But then of course, the more that we do it and we have our own shifts, the more we'll be like, hey, client, I've got something for you and you can teach them too.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point, because if I'm looking at all these videos on YouTube to figure out which one works for me, then I'm more familiar with what's out there to be able to quickly share that with my clients.
Right. Right. And I know, especially if your goal is money mindset, there's several on money mindset, on abundance, on, and again, you're shifting your belief system while you're getting chi to flow.
Oh, that's true. And you know what? I was just thinking, because right now I have an app where I have recorded myself saying several different affirmations that I I push play on it, stick it under my pillow and listen to it as I fall asleep. I'm thinking now that to do this resetting thing, I might do it then at nighttime too. Like do it when I first wake up and then do it at nighttime. And it'll be interesting to see if my sleep is impacted.
Yes.
Because it's not just like work stress that sometimes causes me to not sleep well. But for example, I was working on learning how to do the membership portion of my website for my program. And I was doing that later on, I think Friday night. And then that's all I dreamt about overnight was what I was going to put in this membership area and what Canva things I'm going to create, what the, you know, what lessons I would use and that sort of thing. And it was just funny, because I was like, you didn't sleep because you were thinking about your...
You were brainstorming and coming up with million-dollar ideas in your sleep.
But I think, you know, to that point, doing this distracts me from that.
Yes.
You know, and then I would be able to sleep better. I mean, that wasn't even like a nightmare, right? That was good stuff.
Right.
But it still distracted me from being able to get into that deep REM.
Well, and one thing I've just, you know, when you do tapping, you're doing the physical stuff, but you're also speaking, and it's hard to do. You can't worry and be in monkey mind when you're doing this. And so again, it helps to get you out of fight or flight mode into rest and digest and get your body back and be reminded of those truths. So you can then act out of that space rather than the frantic one.
Right. So I am excited, because hopefully the people listening will try this tonight before bed and then let us know.
Yes.
How they
Let's
feel
do
in the
a
morning.
Human experiment, you guys.
Yeah.
We will post a few ideas or links to other videos in the chat. You can certainly do the one that we just went through today, but let us know how your anxiety or stress level is impacted by adding this strategy to your toolbox and adding it as another healthy habit. So Sarah, is there anything you want to end with?
I just am really glad that you asked me to jump on this call with you, because I'm not kidding you, the last probably month and a half has been very, very stressful. And I totally forgot about this technique. So thank you for going through this and reminding me of the tools that I have.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you implement and then come back and report to us how things have been going. And I'm excited for this to become more normal and part of your routine, because then, you know, that'll support you, but it will also support your client. So thank you so much for hopping on today. Thank you guys so much for hopping on live to the Dream Life Experience. If you are listening to the podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate, leave a chat, review, all the things. We want to hear from you. And join the free group, Coaching for Coaches, Start or Scale Your Coaching Program, because we go live each and every week, and we'd love to see you there. So have an awesome week, you guys, and we'll see you next time.